This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle, Jason Bishop, and Johnny Cakes Auville. It is an open line Thursday presented by Window Nation. You're searching for new windows and doors? Search WindowNation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. All you have to do, it's not very complicated, is call us at 800-636-1067. And open lines means you can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on the Lance documentary the Drab was making sure that we all watched. And so I finally got around. It was so hard. I mean, I don't know what I was doing yesterday. I did a lot. But I finally sat down and watched it, and I think it was an hour and 35 minutes, something like that.
Well, if you get rid of the commercials, it was 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know if I had commercials. I don't know. I watched it on the internet. I think it didn't.
There were no commercials on ESPN.com.
Okay. I just DVR'd it. So
yeah,
it 2 hours on TV.
Yeah. So it was hour 35 to sit down and watch, and it was really good. I mean, after a while, it got a little tedious because I didn't feel like they were going that far. But at the end of the day, it was, I thought, pretty revealing. I mean, you never know with a guy. He said he wasn't going to lie. He was going to tell him everything. He started talking about it, you know, doping when he was 21. But
I didn't realize that he was, like, such a great triathlete at the age of 15.
Yeah, he just, like, I guess, he said he didn't have good hand-eye coordination, that he played basketball, football, soccer, and all that. And then they showed a clip of him when he was probably about 18, 19, 20, and he was playing basketball in the driveway. I'm sure you saw.
Yeah, the air ball.
He was so bad. I mean, the technique was so bad.
He's a knobber.
I was like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know how to process this, because I think of him as this great athlete, and he clearly is a great endurance athlete, but he literally has no hand-eye coordination. I mean, he was dreadful.
I did find it pretty fascinating. He mentioned that so his mom put him into swimming when he was 12 years old, but he didn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was practicing with the swim team at his local pool.
Sounded
but he
like
first
it.
Started swimming with, like, the 5-year-olds and
the 6-year-olds.
He said it was embarrassing. But by the end, like, fast forward a year, he was third in the state.
Yeah. And, like, that time he got to, like, 14. Yeah.
And then he decided to just do triathlons, and he was killing it. And he was doing pro triathlons when he was, like, 15 years old.
Right. Yeah. And just, like, burst onto the scene. Jason, did you watch any of it?
I didn't. I know.
Okay.
I gotta watch it.
So here's the deal. It became obvious as they are interviewing throughout this all of his old teammates, right? All of his old pro cycling teammates. They all basically said the same thing. That if you don't do the extra stuff, the extra doping, you know, to get the extra red blood cells, which was really the game changer in the world of cycling. They'd always had vitamins and maybe steroids. They said cocaine, you know, anything to improve your performance. That always had been the culture. But the game changer was the increase in red blood cells, which gave you an ability to get more oxygen, I guess. And it just would jumpstart you. You could get a 10% advantage over everybody else. I mean, you just had, if you didn't do that, you literally had no chance in the sport. Literally.
So they were all doing it then.
Every single person. And then there was, like, one or two guys that were like, they're like, yeah, I was on the team, but I knew I would never actually race because I was the only one not doping. And if I didn't dope, I'm useless to them.
Yeah.
Right? And then there was another guy who said, I was an up-and-coming American, but they told me point blank, if you either do this and have a career or you don't do this and you have no career. So if you're Lance Armstrong, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, and you're kind of the best, but now you're on the pro tour, and it's either do this, which is actually relatively safe, increasing your red blood cells, or have no career and go back to Austin, Texas, and become a bartender.
So,
I might have done the same thing. If everyone in the culture is doing it,
when did the actual
testing
start ramping up?
I don't know.
The year before he won his first tour.
Like yeah,
I want to say it was like 97,
they kicked
98.
Off a bunch of teams.
So Greg LeMond was doing it. All the great.
All those guys.
The French guy. What was
that
French guy's name? The French guy was dominant for a while.
Well, the EPO was relatively new, I think, in the late 90s. But they were doing like, creatine or something, a bunch of dumb stuff.
So he did growth hormone, and he thinks the growth hormone may have contributed, obviously, to his testicular cancer, which had metastasized all over his body. But once they got to EPO, that was a game changer because it was relatively safe compared to all the other stuff. And if you either did it or you just didn't compete in the sport. Well, obviously, if you're competitive like Lance, it's all you've ever known. The guy had his first million-dollar home, you know, when he was like 23. You know, that's all he ever knew.
There was a guy.
I kind of don't blame him.
It was definitely worth it.
Yeah, he's an odd guy.
Makes sense.
There was a European guy who made a really good point. And they were kind of talking about the culture of biking that in Europe, it's pretty big. You know, some guys will grow up and they want to be a cyclist.
Yeah.
It's just part of the culture. But he was saying that the Americans on the Tour de France, they're a bunch of weirdos because the guys that end up in cycling, they're the guys that weren't good in hoops, weren't good in
He looks like a weirdo
football.
On a basketball court.
They're like
looks like a weirdo.
Right. Yeah. His point was, there are all these mainstream sports that everybody likes to play in the United States, and the cyclists, they're weirdos.
They're the outcasts.
Right. And
definitely.
And I think that definitely comes through because they show a lot of old stuff of Lance Armstrong, but then they actually showed his life today. Like he went to a charity benefit and, you know, obviously the interviews. They showed him on his boat with one of his kids.
Yeah,
And I told my wife, I thought it was really good because I started watching this like at 10 o'clock last night.
Me
and
too.
I was only going to watch like a half an hour because we have Christine Brennan to talk about it later in the show. And I watched the whole thing and I said, he just doesn't look happy. Like, does he ever smile or laugh? It's very rare.
He's just a cantankerous like a kind person. Of competitive person.
Yeah.
You know why I think he was happy? What kept coming up is he liked chicks. I think he mowed through chicks.
Right.
And he liked partying and hanging out with his boys. Yeah. That's what he liked, and then competing.
Was he married to Sheryl Crow?
No, I think they just lived together for a while.
They just dated?
Yeah.
He just smashed.
I think he mowed through chicks. It was kind of a theme. Like, he would hang out with the local guy that owned the bar and knew every chick in town.
That was his pipeline?
Yeah. He liked chicks, competing.
Well, think about how different
and hanging out with the boys.
Just think about how different his life would be and the perception of him. Would be publicly if he just told the truth. That's why everyone hated him, because he lied about doping.
But the
right?
problem is, if you tell the truth, then you can't compete.
Right. But
so then you have no career.
But didn't he lie
so
about
you're working
taking?
At a bank? Oh yeah, lied all the time.
But I'm saying after his career was over, then
well,
he continued.
It started to unravel, right? I mean, people were on to him early on. I mean,
his first
he failed
the
test. Yeah,
yeah. It was a cortisone test that he failed, so that they couldn't catch the EPO. But the thing was that they pointed this out. So there was one Tour de France where they busted a bunch of teams, and then the next one was supposed to be clean. Mm-hmm. It wasn't clean. Lance was doping. Everybody was doping. But the next one was faster than the previous one. They were like, if you get rid of the doping, the time should slow down.
Yeah.
But there was also another guy made a good point, too. He said if EPO gives you a 10% boost, and the difference between first and the last racer in the Tour de France is like 2 hours, which is 2% over the entire race, he's like, of course you're going to take a 10% boost.
Yeah, because if you don't get the 10% boost, you're not in the race. That's the whole point.
How many did he end up winning? Six or seven, right? Tours?
Seven or eight, I think. He just won a rack of them.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't. The first episode kind of ends after I think he wins the first tour or right before he wins his first tour. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. And Eric, you were worried about, I don't want to like him. I don't think you'll come off liking him. You might be sympathetic to maybe you would do what he did.
I understand the plight a little more, and it's like anything else. When you go down that road and you start sort of something against the rules and you start lying about it, like, when do you ever own up to it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you've now dug, you're in the A-Rod situation.
The problem is, and maybe they'll get to this in part two, is that, like, Lance was trying to destroy people's lives once they accused him of doping.
Yeah.
Oh, was he?
And that's why, you know, he's so unlikable.
And also, I felt like he used cancer as a shield. Like, look at me. I've raised billions of dollars for cancer. So, I think
I think that's what they'll explore in the second episode. It seemed to be pointing to a theme of, is he a good guy that did a bad thing or a bad guy that did a good thing? I think he's a bad guy that did a good thing.
I don't know. I can't decide.
When was the first time? I remember I loved him. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the late 90s.
Well,
I mean, I just liked watching him race.
You like famous people.
But yeah, I kind of disrespect him because he's a cyclist. I just don't. Right. Cycling is just so low.
I used to love watching
those races. On the totem
races.
Pole for
so
me.
So you didn't put him, like he said, and I think he's right, at the peak of his fame. When everybody was wearing their yellow bracelets and he had Nike on lockdown and you'd go in there and be black and gold stuff everywhere, right? All their gear. He said he was in that stratosphere, and he's right, of like Michael Phelps, Lance Armstrong, who else? LeBron James. Like those were his peers.
Of course.
The greatest.
He was the most dominant in
his
sport.
Of their generation.
Yeah.
Now, he was in the Mount Rushmore of American heroes.
Yeah, so I can't remember. When was the first time he actually admitted to doing it, to doping?
I think it's just been in the last few years, right? Last half dozen years or so? I don't know. Because the lawsuits, he's had to,
did he have to testify?
Lawsuits.
Did he have to testify anywhere?
I'm not sure. He settled a $100 million lawsuit with the U.S. Postal Service or with the government for $5 million. Hmm. Which he's like, I can't believe I paid him $5 million, but,
Yeah.
Better than $100 million. He didn't have $100 million.
He had the $5 million.
He had $5 million.
That was the good thing.
And he's still living a good life. You can clearly tell that. He made a ton of dough.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma to be in. If the sport that you love and it was what's given you a level of fame and fortune, and otherwise, I mean, you're going to, let's be honest. I mean, Lance Armstrong, at 18, 19 years old, he left home at 17, didn't go to college, limited education. Was he going to work at a bike shop or something like a lot of these guys do?
And he had a tough childhood. They did point that out. I'm not saying it makes sympathetic. His mom was 16 when she had him. Maybe she was 17, but very young. And he had a couple stepdads. He picked up the name from one of his stepdads who used to beat him all the time. Apparently, that guy actually... He didn't come off well. He was in
the
dock.
He justified it. Yeah.
He was like, he goes, maybe I should have hugged him instead of just beat him down.
He said he wouldn't be who he is if it weren't for me. And that one really bugged me. But he might be right. He made him crazy. He made him a psycho.
Yeah. He kind of justified it. He was like, well, I came from a military background. I went to military school. So, if the kid left his drawer open,
right.
I beat him down.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls if people want to chime in. It's Open Line Thursday. Your chance to talk about whatever you want. By the way, we did at least I did and a bunch of listeners, I Googled how you make the waffle fries.
All right.
And it makes perfect sense once you see it. They have essentially, imagine like a cheese grater. So you take your, and it does some magical thing where it comes out like a waffle. You just take the potato and scrape it over the cheese grater, and they come out. And then that's where the different sized potatoes factors in, right? If it's a massive potato, then a bigger waffle comes out.
Correct.
But I didn't know you could, a grater, I mean, who's the genius that designed that? That's amazing, Cakes.
I have no idea. How would I know that?
All right, let's go to Mary Ellen, line one. More Naked and Afraid talk. I can't
get
enough of it.
You love this. Steering the calls toward Naked
and
Afraid.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Mary Ellen?
What's up?
I'm going in for some Chick-fil-A. You guys have me starving.
Well, what time does it open?
Breakfast.
Noon? They don't have breakfast.
No,
they have breakfast, right?
Yeah. Probably open now.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to try them out. Hey, Eric, do you watch any of the new ones? Because you've been watching the old ones.
I've kind of jumped around. I pretty much have watched all of the first seven seasons, and then I watch all the XLs, And then I've watched some season of 10 and some of season 11, yes.
Well, do you see the recent XL when they start banishing people?
Yes.
The guy?
Yes. Yeah, the little nerd that showed up late, yeah.
Lazy bum. He's a jerk.
Well, you know, you never know how they're going to depict you. I know a lot of contestants go on the show and they're complaining.
They're taking a nap in the middle of the day and then he'd go out and try to fish for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of contestants.
He's pacing himself.
Yeah, exactly. They have different styles. Some people think survival is just chill, conserve your energy.
I respect his nap hustle.
Others are get out there and hunt and gather and get some food and thrive, not just survive.
Hmm. Well, do you like the fact that the contestants are banishing people now?
I don't know. I mean, I've only seen the one episode of it, so I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
They get very clicky because they get like...
Well, those people showed up late, so of course they're going to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and these are people that have tapped out before.
Right, right.
But yeah, that show is very addictive.
Very addictive. Did I put you on it? I'm putting so many people on this.
No, I started watching it before you talked about it, and it was funny that you started talking about it, but it was cool because I was like, you know, I was paralleling you. But
yeah, you know what I found interesting? I have a friend that used to work at Discovery Channel, and they said that the Discovery Channel, I didn't know this because they're like, I love all the shows on the Discovery Channel. They say it's totally a guy network because I'm like, how come you don't watch? It's a woman. And she goes, I'm not a guy. All of the programming on the Discovery Channel is geared to guys. I didn't know that.
You think my wife wants to watch
this guy?
You think she wants to watch Deadliest Catch? You think my wife cares about guys fishing for crabs in the Bering Sea?
I don't know. It's interesting. I never thought of it as a guy network. I thought that one was a network that both sexes were.
Well, I mean, what were some of the really good? Dirty Jobs was on it. I remember that. I don't know
show. I watch all that Memphis Street Outlaws and Street Outlaws. I could see that being a guy.
What about Wicked Tuna?
I'm not sure that that's on the Discovery Channel,
not,
is it?
I just figured it was on Discovery Channel. It sounds like a Discovery Channel product.
Sure.
I love that show, though, Cakes.
But again, that seems like a show that dudes would care about.
I mean, Shark Week is a Discovery thing, right? I don't know if that's necessarily
that universal. Like,
I would think.
Yeah, I think like little girls like that. I know my girls like Wicked Tuna. So,
Storm Chasers was my favorite, of course.
And that was Discovery? Now, is that only a guy
thing?
Probably not.
You guys liked it, but I don't know. I can't remember if my wife watched it with me.
Is that your guy, Reed Timmer?
Yeah, Reed Timmer.
He's still doing it, man.
He's still out there.
He still chases storms.
Follow him on social media, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He chases hurricanes, tornadoes.
Right.
Snowstorms, blizzards, you know, all of it. He just chases.
All right, let's go to Charles.
By the way, I just went to Discovery.com.
He just chases.
Have you checked out Naked Castaway?
What is Naked Castaway?
I don't know. I see it here on Discovery Go.
Oh, I might have to watch that. All right, Valdez is saying we got a break. I see we have Charles, we have Steven, some other people here on the line. It's open line Thursday, your chance to steer the show. We'll bang out some more of your calls. I believe we have Harold Reynolds coming up at 8 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You taste like summer.
Welcome back. Chuck is coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. You want to chime in, steer the show, talk about whatever you want, 800-636-1067. So video comes out yesterday of Dwayne Haskins throwing to Antonio Brown. Chad Johnson was there, Ocho Cinco, and Geno Smith, I believe, who apparently is tight with Antonio Brown. Or maybe he's tight with Ocho Cinco. I'm not exactly sure. So he had a couple quarterbacks, a couple receivers. And I'm wondering if Redskins fans, number one, get psyched just to see Haskins in action. And number two, if they dream of bringing Antonio Brown into the mix.
Oh, boy.
No way they're thinking
I knew that was coming.
No, somebody's got to think of it.
I mean, you may think of it for a second, but there's no way that Ron Rivera is going to deal with Antonio
right.
Brown's shenanigans.
No,
not
but
even for
you,
one
but
second.
But if you were a hardcore Redskins fan, and you know the guy needs receivers, he's got a legit one in McLaurin, but you put Brown on the other side?
Okay.
I mean, there's a chance he stays
okay.
straight.
Only if Brown has undergone counseling and he's got documented medications.
Well, I'm going to assume that has not happened. But
then I can't do it.
He would
but
be
what's the
my,
worst? What's the worst that can happen? You
he
bring
just
him
ruins
in?
The whole team chemistry.
Well, he's on my foobar. He's on the foobar list.
Then you cut him.
Yeah. There aren't many guys on that list, but he's one of the guys that's on that list.
Jason,
he hasn't been arrested for like the last month though.
Right. Doesn't matter. He's a powder keg just waiting to go off. And
if
I
he's under medication, documented. And he's currently undergoing counseling, then I would consider it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's a non-starter.
Don't you think he'll play in the league this year?
No.
I don't think that.
I think it's possible, but I don't think he definitely will.
I don't know what his suspension situation is, but I think that he'll find his way
back. Well, that's
back
the other league. Thing is the league letting him back in.
Remember, the Saints gave him a tryout. Now, that might have just been...
I think it was a publicity stunt type of deal.
Why?
What
the Saints
like.
Didn't need publicity.
No, for Brown.
Maybe they threw Brown a...
So the Saints did it as a favor to Antonio Brown?
Solid. Or
maybe.
Did a solid for Rosenhaus.
I think they wanted to give him a look-see, Cakes.
I think they wanted to give him a look-see for the future.
And we've heard that the Seahawks, at least Russell Wilson, has been lobbying to bring in Antonio Brown.
I can see Pete Carroll doing it. Pete Carroll doesn't care. He don't care, Cakes.
Yeah, he just wants to win games.
Right? A guy like that would do it.
Why would he care? All Pete Carroll wants to do is run the ball, give the ball to Chris Carson 22 times a game and have him fumble it and then send another guy in to run the ball.
I'm just saying the guy's going to help you. Yes, it's a risk. Right. He's going to help you win some games if he stays straight for a season. He definitely
Oh, there's
will.
No doubt about that.
So it might be worth the risk to at least bring him in if he makes the team. All right, he plays. And then if he acts up, you cut him.
I mean, maybe in other cities
up,
it might make sense, but all Ron Rivera has preached since he's been here has been his culture and getting his guys in here and doing it his way. And I would be stunned if he even entertained the thought of bringing in a nightmare
no, he's
head
not
case
going
like
to.
Brown.
He won't. But I'm just saying if you're a Redskin fan and you want more weapons and more touchdowns and more wins, he would be worth the risk.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that dude is worth the risk. We've seen him burn out so many times and burn so many bridges. I don't know if it's worth it.
I agree with Cakes. It's just too much of a powder keg. Of course he would help your team on Sunday for 3 hours a day, week, of course. But he's just a nightmare. He's one of those guys that sucks the air out of the room. The media can't help themselves. They'd all be instantly attracted to him, hounding him and teammates for quotes. He'd give them awful stuff.
Maybe not. Maybe he changes. He's desperate to get back in the league.
The only guy who I saw who kind of toned his act down, who was crazy, was Ocho Cinco that short period of time he was in New England. Like Ocho Cinco, who was one of the early adopters on Twitter. Got off social media. He towed a straight line, but he didn't do anything, right? He didn't do anything with the.
Well, he was the end of his career at that point.
Yeah.
He was...
yeah. I don't know. I'm not interested. I do like seeing him working out.
I found it interesting,
I love
though.
That.
Shorts put it up on our Facebook page. You can follow us at facebook.com/thejunks. Yeah. And I think he just wrote, "Siced." And it was really supposed to be about Dwayne Haskins, and are you psyched out Dwayne Haskins is throwing the football? And most of the responses were about Antonio Brown.
Right.
Well, I mean, the guy at his peak was the best receiver in the game. So,
I mean, all he did was give you 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns every year.
Right.
Well, he played one game for the Patriots, and he caught a bunch of balls and touchdown.
He caught four.
Last year.
He caught four.
Well, then wasn't he cut like the following
yes,
day?
The following for yes.
Alleged rape?
Well, that's the other thing.
Well, because I mean, that's the whole thing, Jason.
Because oh, I understand that. But where is that investigation? I mean, that might have been BS.
I think it was a civil, if I remember right, civil court.
Yeah, he had well, a yeah, bunch
gotta,
of stuff.
You got to clean up all the off-the-field stuff first, right. Obviously.
And that's another thing. Like for a while, it seemed like every other week there was a video of Antonio Brown outside of his house acting crazy. A scene with his kids, like with the mother of his kids. I mean, you just don't want that anything anywhere near your organization. Just let him be somebody else's headache.
Cakes, do you want just a bunch of Boy Scouts?
No, I understand you're not going to get a bunch of straight-A students on your team. I understand that, but I think you can find a way to win without Antonio Brown.
The other thing, and it didn't jump out at me, that I just noticed from the comments on the Facebook page, they said that in all of the passes, and I only saw two or three passes, Haskins was late and underthrowing the ball, that Antonio Brown had to slow down for him.
I'm not going to kill him. I mean, he's on a turf field.
Well, and playing catch.
No defenders.
Right. He's used to throwing to Trey Quinn.
Was it Chad Johnson said that Dwayne threw some great balls and that he really had to thread the needle when he was covering them?
There you go.
And he would know. He's right there.
I can't get over the video we saw a few weeks ago of Antonio Brown with the ball machine just firing balls in the air and then catching them on his own. Did you guys see that? He put the ball into the ball machine. Now, it was launching it in the air almost, I'm not going to say like a punt, but kind of like a punt.
Uh-huh.
And he just put it in there. And he was like on some rich dude's driveway. And right. It was in, the ball machine thing. It launched it in the air. And he just took off and caught it running in stride.
Did he have a ball cannon? Silly ball
because
cannon?
Because it wasn't a ball cannon.
He's a physical freak.
He's just a physical freak.
That's what he is.
You know? Was he wearing a Raiders helmet in that video with Haskins?
It looked like it. But actually, I don't know if there was a logo. I think it was just silver.
Valdez says that was Hollywood Brown who was catching balls in the driveway off a pitching machine.
Oh, Marquise Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I thought it was Antonio Brown.
There's a lot of buzz on him heading into the...
Hollywood Brown, also a physical freak.
A lot of buzz.
If I'm wrong, I apologize.
On Hollywood Brown. If he's healthy, buzz. Mm-hmm. Buzz, a lot of buzz on him heading into 2020.
Of course. Mm.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, it runs like the wind.
Right.
That's kind of an old man cliche, too.
Run like the wind?
Kind of is.
You can't say that anymore?
Well, I mean, you can. It's just older guys say it. I mean,
it's borderline.
You don't hear guys 25 say that.
Yeah.
Saying it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go to Steven. Remember that kid that's all into the refs? He hates the refs, or he wants to – what's he want to do, automate everything, get rid of refs, especially in football?
I think he's been banned by the NFL. He can tell us.
Is that right?
He might be banned by this show at some point.
Steven, what's up, buddy? Steven, is he there or is he gone?
Steven.
He should be up.
Sorry, I was on mute. I was on mute.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I'm here. So I've been blocked by the National Football League.
Yep. Oh, you mean like on social media?
Yes.
All right, because what
you told us that, right?
Were you stalking them?
No. What do you mean by stalking?
Well, when you just badgering
stalking.
Them? Were you trolling them?
I was saying they need to change their refs, and Roger Goodell should probably be fired. But other than that, no.
Right.
How often, though?
Well, you're not the only one who feels that way about Goodell.
How often were you relaying that opinion to them?
Probably 3 times a day.
Daily.
For how
Multiple
many days?
Multiple times daily.
Pardon me?
For how many days?
A week.
A week. So you hit him up about 21 times?
About, yes.
Yeah. And they finally blocked you.
Then they finally blocked me, correct.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like some sort of glee in it? Like, what do trolls feel when that happens?
It's a badge of courage, almost.
Yeah. Is that like some great thing?
He's pinned the tweet. I can't believe the NFL was worried about all 21 of your followers.
Right. I know, yeah. That's the thing. Like, no one has followed me yet, so I don't know why they're worried.
They're not worried. You're just a pain in their ass.
He kind of has a point here. How many total people do the NFL block, right?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, I'm sure it puts you in some select category.
Are you calling the NFL office over and over and over again?
I haven't called them in the last week.
But you have called them before.
Is it because you?
I have called them multiple times before. One time they hung up on me.
Yeah.
Do you ever get past when you call? Do you ever get past the receptionist?
Yeah, I got to Roger Goodell's voicemail once.
You did. Yeah. What did you say? That's hilarious. What did you say?
He's doing a real life Bother the Pro.
Yeah. What did you say?
I said, "Hi, Mr. Goodell. My name is Stephen McDonald. I am really tired of a lot of officiating problems and tired with you. Please give me a call back."
Please give me a call back.
I'm sure.
That's hilarious.
This kid's persistent. I'll give him that.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a serious question. Do you have like mental health issues, or are you totally normal in the rest of your life?
Mental health.
He's crazy.
Come on.
Normal.
Huh?
I'm just extremely bored.
Right. This is a quarantine bit that you're doing?
Probably. I don't know if it'll last longer at this point.
Well, I think he was doing this before quarantine.
Yeah, he was.
I started this the day after the Super Bowl. That's when I started writing to Roger Goodell.
Right.
I can't remember. I can't remember. Are you DeMatha kid?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now
what
I really
year
like
are
it.
You at DeMatha?
I'm class of 2023.
2020. So you're like a sophomore? Is that what it is? A freshman?
I'm a freshman.
Rising sophomore.
He's a youngin'.
Just finishing a freshman year.
From what I hear, he might be held back because his grades are so poor.
Are you doing
true?
Poorly? You might get kicked out.
No, I direct messaged Dravy last week saying I couldn't call him last week because I needed to get my grades up.
Drag, you follow this maniac?
No, of course not. But he has access to my DMs.
Okay. It's at StopTheRefs1. He needs some more followers.
I know. If anyone would like to follow me, I'm also boycotting the National Football League.
Voice
and
crack.
I will not be advertising them with merchandise this year.
You will not be what?
I will not be wearing NFL merchandise, not be watching their games.
Boy, that NFL shop, man, they're going to fold all
You're
of a sudden.
You're not going to watch the NFL over this?
No.
Yes,
I'm
you are.
I'm a fan, and I'm dedicated to this sport. And if you love something, you got to set it free. And I'm setting it free of my body until they change.
You know what, Steve, no offense to your parents, but I kind of blame them. They got to get him a hobby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought, but didn't we ask you about chicks?
I think he's a musician, though. Isn't he in the DeMatha band?
I'm in DeMatha band. I'm golf.
Right.
But right now I'm just really bored.
If you put this much effort into your golf game, you'd be Rory McIlroy.
Oh, I know I would.
Right. What was the story with chicks? You just haven't really met that many yet?
I don't think he's...
he's 14.
I don't think the switch has flipped yet.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, because once it does, he's going to punt away and stop the run.
Certain kids it hits a little earlier.
Like me.
Yeah. Like right. Valdez at 13.
Yeah, trust me. You get your first hog smoke, you won't be thinking about the refs.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that is true.
It's a good point.
Right. Well, listen, God bless you, man. Get your grade. What's your GPA?
My GPA is 3.87.
Oh, what are you talking about, Valdez?
You're like a Rhodes Scholar.
You don't understand. My grades last week were so bad. I had, let's see, let me just go.
It's virtual learning. Kids don't care now.
Why don't you give us your whole curriculum?
Well, hold on.
Kate, give him a follow. You follow everybody, Kate.
I do. You know what?
I'll stop the refs. You know what I'll do? I'll give him a pity follow.
Cakes, you got to give the kid a pass.
Thank you, Cakes.
You're welcome.
Give the kid a pass.
Is DeMatha one of those schools that just hands out A's to everybody?
No. Like,
well, if you're 7 feet tall, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're 7 feet tall, yeah.
If you run, a 4.440, yeah.
But kids like him, no.
Yeah. All right,
for someone
Steve.
Running a 5.840, they do not give me a pass.
Exactly.
He's got a good sense of humor, though, Cakes.
He does, yes.
All right, hang in there. Keep us updated, Steve.
I will. I really appreciate you taking my call. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
He's weird and twisted, but
I like the kid. I like him.
I do
and
like
he's
him.
He's targeted by the NFL, Cakes.
Yeah, they blocked him.
And by the way, I don't believe that he's going to ban the NFL. He's 100%
going to watch. Crazy, dude.
He's going to watch.
He's a man on a mission.
Got to take a break if you want to chime in on an Open Line Thursday. 800-636-1067. We'll come back with the World Series Rewind. And remember, Harold Reynolds, MLB Network Analyst. He'll join us at 8 o'clock here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show at 800-636-1067. Before we get back to the phones, time for a World Series rewind. We do that every morning at this time. Today we look back to October 12th of 2019 when Max Scherzer pitched an absolute gem against the Cardinals. Here's our World Series rewind.
Listen weekday mornings at 7:40 and 11:40 for the World Series rewind.
Rewind! Remember where you are on October 30th.
For the Washington Nationals 2019 World Series championship season.
You want me to rewind that?
Presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation.
Wainwright rocks into the windup and fires. And a swing and a high drive to left field, well hit. Ozuna drifting back toward the warning track, to the wall, looking up, and there it goes! Michael Taylor drops one into the left field seats for his third career postseason home run. And on the first pitch in the top of the third, the Nationals are on the board and lead the Cardinals here in game two, 1-0.
I remember,
that's all they needed.
I remember Michael Taylor, remember he was sent down, and I thought that might be it, man. We just would never see him. And then late in the season, you know, he contributed at times. That guy is a survivor, dude.
Yep.
He definitely contributed, and that was a game where Scherzer had a no-hitter until the seventh. Speaking of Max Scherzer, he chimed in yesterday on the latest proposal by Major League Baseball in terms of where the players' salaries would be. He says, he tweeted yesterday, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions. We've previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept the second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information.
Right. So he's saying the owners have more money than they're actually saying they have.
Right. Open up the books is what he's saying.
Well, I just saw a list. I don't know if somebody just tweeted us.
Which they probably do.
I think the Learners, I think it might have been Bill Rowland tweeting. The Learners are listed as the third richest owners in Major League Baseball, valued at about $3.9 billion.
Hmm.
Who's overtaken them? Because for years they were listed as the wealthiest owners in all of Major League Baseball.
Let me go find that tweet again.
Is it the Giants ownership group?
Neil Greenberg.
Or no. I feel like the Giants ownership
looks
group.
Looks like the Dolan family is worth $4.6 billion. And Charlie Johnson owns the Giants $4
billion. Yeah.
Okay.
Who do the Dolans own, remind me? JP?
That's the Mets, right?
That's the Mets?
No, the Indians.
The
Indians.
The Mets are Fred Wilpon. He's worth just half a bill.
Well, I think he's putting it up for sale, right? Didn't we see that A-Rod and J-Lo were trying to put together a group to buy the Mets? I think so.
Yep.
Maybe buy a portion of it.
Yeah.
But again, we said it. There's no way those guys that are making 15, 20, 25 million are going to take 80% cuts.
Well, I don't know many people that would, you know, especially if you have some financial security, are going to do anything for an 80% pay cut.
Yeah, 80% is nonsense. And the owners definitely knew there was going to be a counter, so let's see what the counter is.
Especially considering that they had already negotiated a 50% pay cut, you know. And the 50% pay cut was prorated based on games, too, correct or no? Am I wrong about that?
Well, yeah, because it was based on 82 games, half the season.
So it was based on 82 games. It wasn't 50% of 82 games. It was just 50% overall.
It was the prorated salary based on the games that they would play, which would have been 82.
Which didn't factor in no fans, maybe no concessions, that sort of thing.
Correct.
Right. Look, I don't know. I actually am weirdly optimistic that they'll figure something out. I really am.
I know, but the longer they take to figure it out, then they're not going to be able to get 100 games or 82 games in.
Yeah.
And then when are they starting the spring training the next year? They're going to start it on time?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's going to happen
You can only play, you know, so long into the season or into the fall or winter, I mean, unless you're playing in Florida.
They're going to see these other leagues up and running. I think if it's golf, it's going to be obviously NASCAR's now up and running. Golf's going to be up and running 2 weeks from today. Once they start seeing these other leagues and these other guys out there playing, competing, see them on TV, and things, kind of normal again, these other leagues are going to want to get back in there and get their piece of the pie. So I think it's going to snowball. It's going to happen pretty quickly. That's my guess.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Especially, go ahead.
It just seems like it's a long shot now for Major League Baseball, unless the owners are going to accept some sort of a counter from the players.
Well, they have to.
And the money's got to make sense, obviously, on both ends. Yeah. But like you said earlier in the show, I can't imagine there's going to be no fan. I mean, I know they're doing it in Korea, and it's kind of weird. I don't know if you've watched any of that, but I can't imagine they're going to do that for very long in Major League Baseball.
Well, they just don't need to.
I know they don't need to.
But they're all scared.
The governors are scared. The states are scared.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be anymore. Like Florida and Texas and Georgia, all these states that have opened up and allowed these, especially like beaches and that sort of thing, and they're not seeing an increase. In fact, they're seeing a continued decrease. This virus, I'm sorry, it's disappearing. And as it continues to disappear, it's still killing people, but it's going to, eventually it's going to go away. And people are going to want to be back to normal. They already are. I was out on the road yesterday when I drove to Herndon to go to Offenbacher's, and there were way more cars than I remember a month ago. Way more.
Oh, yeah. Traffic's back.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Rockville the other day, and starting to look normal-ish.
We'll be back
traffic.
At 10:15 Half Street before you know it.
Yeah.
Back in D.C.
I think so.
Probably won't be that long.
Everybody was doom and gloom, and myself included, making all of these predictions a couple months ago, and it's just not going to be what we thought in terms of like this prolonged, we're going to be shut down for a year and a half. That's not happening. We are rejecting that as a society,
right.
And we don't even need it.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, society can't afford to do that.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Right. I'm for a disease with a 0.26.
predictions, though. I'll tell you that.
What was that?
I missed the year and a half shutdown predictions.
Well, people are saying that now. They're saying we should stay locked down and stay in your homes and until we get a vaccine.
Well, they're nuts.
Yeah, the people are nuts.
Not many.
Are they going to pay the bills of the 45 million people who don't have jobs?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Especially now we were sold a bill of goods either purposefully or not. I don't think it was purposefully. I just think we didn't have the data. Well, we thought that the death rate on this thing was 3.4. It's not.
No, it's not even close to that.
It's not anywhere close to that. It's a little more than the flu overall. For people under 50, it's basically less than the flu or the same. It's just slaughtering old people and people that are sick that have a lot of issues. So we got to protect them. And the rest of us have to have the ability, if we want, to go back and do our stuff. These guys, these baseball players, have a right to make a living. The owners have a right to put on the games.
And even if Mike Trout's making $36 million a year, all right, so you prorate that to 50%, let's call it, 18.
Yeah.
He's not taking an 80% cut on $18 million?
I don't think so.
All right, when we come back, we can talk to Harold Reynolds about that. Harold Reynolds, MLB analyst for the MLB Network. He'll join us next here on the Junkies.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.